So anyway, I was praying this morning, and just one of those mornings where you just feel a real stirring to shift your direction a little bit, and just say that to help you guys for whenever you're sharing. Sometimes you'll plan things out and have things exactly like you want to say, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will just kind of intervene for whatever reason. I think it's kind of just a trust issue, you know, just I think he's just like the Holy Spirit saying, will you trust me even though you're not so prepared in this area? Will you just trust me to, you know, go? So I'm going to go this direction this morning. I felt really stirred about this first verse of Hebrews 1, and it just kind of looked like me just was praying and had a really, really, really awesome prayer time this morning. And what continued to come out of my mouth was just that this kind of dependence on the Lord. Lord, I need you. Just kind of find myself this morning, kept saying that over and over, just how much I need him. Just thinking about areas of my life, how much I need him. And I just started through this thinking. It's like, I just really, really wanted to know this. You know, I know I can say that we need God and we just need him so much. But I just started thinking, like, do I really need him in everything? It's like, did God make me? Did God make you guys to where you can do anything good on your own? You know, I just really was thinking through, is that really right? You know, do I need him for everything I do? Can I do anything good? And so I just started thinking. I went back to creation and Genesis and thinking, okay, God, he made dependent creatures. That's what he did. He made us as dependent beings. He didn't really make us independent. He didn't ever intend for us to be independent, or he didn't, you know, a lot of people just have this view of God, like God just kind of set this thing in place and kind of like you wind up a clock and he just lets it go. You know, that's not really how he made us. He made us to be dependent. And originally his way of having us be dependent was by eating from the correct tree. That's his way of saying, look, you need me. Even now in perfection, you need me. And you're going to show me that you need me by being obedient from eating from the right tree and not eating from the wrong one. So just keep that in mind. Even in that perfect state before the fall, we needed God. That's how we're made. We're creatures that were made to be dependent. And now, you know, in the whole time, he also invented a way for us to be dependent. And it's just simply faith. I just want to really define that. He made us to be dependent, and he also made us a way to be dependent. And the way he chose for us to be dependent, he looks down on Adam and says, I want you to be dependent on me. And the way you'll be dependent is I'm going to make this thing called faith, which is where how you trust in me and how you source from me. And pretty much these choices you make about what you're putting your faith in is going to make you dependent. And so, anyway, that's just a kind of a pre-thing how I got to my lesson in Hebrews 1. But just to make it short, just started thinking through. Yeah, he made faith, he made me dependent, he needs, I was thinking through my history as a Christian. Every year since I've gotten saved, I've become, just look at every single year, and it's like every year I rely less and less on myself. Like when I was younger, I used to be able to, you know, say like, my answer was always, yeah, I can do that. And now, you know, I just notice every year it's like, I find more things that I can't do, which is weird. I can grow in wisdom and grow in, you know, strength and knowledge and all this stuff, and I find more things I can't do. And my answer is shifting from, yeah, I can do that, God, I'll do this, to it's, God, I can't do this without you. I need you to do this. And I think that's the true path for a Christian, to become more dependent every year, every day. So, and I was just thinking through, faith is just this key thing. I need faith. How do I grow in faith? And just a simple thing, like faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. And so anyway, that's what gets me to this Hebrews. I was meditating a lot and praying a lot about how do I get to this place where I'm growing in faith by hearing the Word of God. Is it just as simple as studying Scripture and my faith just kind of supernaturally grows? Is it just reading every day? But I just was really meditating on that, on the ability to hear God's voice and have him speak to me. And anyway, that leads all this to Hebrews 1. And I just wanted to say all that to set you guys up. But Hebrews 1, the first verse, is just blew me away today. It's just long ago. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Okay? So, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So, God spoke continually. I mean, from Genesis, you know, he's speaking to Adam. It says he spoke many times in many ways. He's speaking to Adam face to face. He speaks to people through angels. He speaks to people through creation. You'll find all this stuff in the Bible. He starts to speak to people through prophets. He actually speaks to someone through a donkey. He speaks to people through signs. God from the beginning has been all about speaking to his people. And he did it in a number of different ways. And he did it in so many different ways because it's amazing to me how you can, we're just all so different, you know. Stephen can hear from God in one certain way, you know, and that's, to me, might make no sense. And I might see God clearly in his creation. And Stephen might hear him clearly, you know, through the word. And it's just, there's several ways that God's speaking. But then he says this phrase that it's like, he spoke to us in many times and in many ways through prophets. But verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And it's not to say that he's not still speaking and he doesn't still speak to us in many ways. But here's how I kind of looked at it. It's like God's always been speaking. He's still always speaking. But there is this one moment in history where he spoke. If he ever spoke, he spoke. And it was like a clear, you know, speech. You know, it's just like, it's just the ultimate God speaking in history, and that's in his Son. And I just was thinking through that. If I want my faith to grow, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, I need to look at this ultimate speech, you know, to really hear it. And what do I mean by that? It's just like, I just want to keep us in remembrance and keep us in need of hearing from God and how God spoke to us in this one event. I think it just combats every single attack of the enemy. I think it saves us from a million griefs and a million trials and pains and sufferings. But just like if I'm going to keep using Stephen, if Stephen's feeling a lack of love, and this is great too, you can pray and ask God, God, I want you to really speak to me how much you love me. That's a good prayer. And he can also go to a house church and have people give him words and have him tell him how much God, you know, loves him, and that's great, but ultimately, the ultimate way that God spoke that he loves Stephen was the fact that Jesus died on the cross. That was, you know, that's kind of what this is saying. He's always been speaking, but now the ultimate speech is just in Jesus, just looking at Jesus. I wrote that he spoke at that moment of death. He spoke most strongly about love. He spoke most strongly about peace. If any of us feel that lack of peace, if I want to really hear from God, I look to Jesus. Look to Jesus dying. That's his act of downloading peace. If I want to hear him speak about promise, like here's one thing I personally really struggle with. It's like, God, what's my future? Like, this is like everyday thing. God, what's my future? What do you have for me? Are you going to leave me hanging? You know, are we just, what's tomorrow? What's next year? And so I do this. This is what I do. God, speak to me. Tell me what you're going to do. God, tell me, have someone prophesy to me about my future. Have someone give me a word that'll help me to hang on just a little bit longer. And I almost never get anything. And it's 99% of the time I get nothing from God in that area. But I can look, and if I'm clear and I see Jesus, and I see the very next verse says, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. I mean, so here's my reality. Jesus is the heir of all things, and I have Jesus, and Jesus has me, and that's my future. I mean, my future is that Christ, everything is his. He's the heir. He's going to inherit everything, and my future is in that. But there's just this huge difference between trying to get some word, you know, to get by, which would be great if he did give it, and I'd praise him if he gave me that. But ultimately, it's like, I've got to realize he's already spoke to me in his son and what his son did, and that was the ultimate thing. And I can get little words, but it should always just point me back to his main speech, you know, that Jesus died, and everything you have is in that. He speaks to us in Christ about his past. He's communicating in Jesus what he thought about all our sins. If you're one of those who hang on to guilt and hang on to shame, and you worry about what you've did and how you've affected everyone and how you've hurt people, and you're wanting to hear a word from God about how, God, what do you think about that? God, am I free from that? God, have you forgiven me for that? I could ask God things like that and try to hear from him, or I could see it in his son. Same thing. So I just had a whole list of the things like that. But I just was thinking and just having a lot of revelation about how every war we're in against the enemy and against lies and against, you know, all kinds of things that come against us, everything is combated with Jesus. Every word we get in a house church, every word we get from a brother and sister is pointing us back to Jesus. If the point isn't just to get a word, I mean, the point is to get us back to Jesus. And so I just had that challenge for you guys, and I wanted to, don't know why, just felt a strong stirring to bring you back to that, to bring you back to what faith really is. I remember, can anyone relate? I was just wondering that. Can anyone relate to that? I just remember, this was before I got saved, like a couple years before I got saved, and I remember sitting on I bowed at my bed, and I was like searching. Is that searching time before we all get saved? And I remember I started praying, like, God, that whole thing that a lot of people do, God, if you're real, you know, will you speak to me, or will you show yourself to me, or will you, you know? And I just remember getting no answer, and that was pretty discouraging, you know. It's like, I'm really wanting to give God a chance. Here you go. God, if you're really real, I'm stepping out here and do this one thing for me. It seems like I hear that story all the time, and he doesn't do it. And I just think, because I overthink, I remember thinking, like, God, why didn't you just do it? Why didn't you just speak? I was right there ready for the taking. Why didn't you just say one thing to me? And it could have just got me at an earlier age. And now, of course, I'm so glad he didn't, you know, because he's wise in everything he does. And ultimately, he didn't want to reveal himself to me like that. He wanted to reveal himself in this way that he had planned out, that was going to be something like him showing me his son. He didn't want my faith to be in hearing a voice, you know, saying, I'm real. He didn't want that. He wanted my faith to be completely in Jesus died for me. I'm a sinner. I was in need. He dies for me on the cross. You know, I believe in his death. I believe that he is resurrected. I had a whole path I had to go on, and because God wanted my faith centered in his son, and he didn't want my faith centered in hearing a voice or have him just kind of show up. So, you see what I'm getting at? I just the centrality of our faith needs to be in Jesus. God could have spoke to me, but he didn't want my faith to be in anything else, even things that had to do with him. He wants our faith to be completely in Jesus. Now, why am I saying that? I'm making such a big deal about that because you'll see here in a second. I'll finish through Hebrews 1. I'll show you the first verse of Hebrews 2, and you'll see why. But Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, okay, the exact imprint of his nature. I mean, that's amazing. He's the radiance of the glory of God. And the rest of Hebrews is just going to talk about how supreme Christ is, which is why I'm just loving reading it right now. But he's the radiance of the glory of God. I thought back to Moses. You remember Moses when he's talking to God, and you remember he says this thing, show me your glory. I think in the book of Exodus, it says, show me your glory. And God does this deal. It's like, all right, I'm going to cover you up, and I'm going to pass by you, and you can just kind of barely catch a glimpse of my glory, but you can't see me face to face. And that's been a huge prayer. You know, I think that should be a huge prayer for all of us. Lord, show me your glory. Let me see your glory. Let me just have a little view of how glorious you are. You know, just just a glimpse. I want to know, you know, and I can find myself doing the same thing. It's like, Lord, show me your glory. I don't know how you're going to show it, you know. Maybe you're going to do something powerful or something cool or something, you know, but just show me your glory. And the whole time, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. I mean, we see it in Jesus. And that's the answer to Moses' prayer, show me your glory. The answer is Jesus is he is the glory of God. He's the answer to the prayer, show me your glory. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. I was thinking that. I was praying for an atheist friend of mine this morning when I was going through this, and it just reminded me of him, and I started praying for him. And this guy's really into the whole science, you know, evolution, you know, God didn't make anything, we blew up, nothing blew up, and we became, you know, that whole thing. And so I was just thinking, it's like, but man, it's amazing how blinded we can be without faith, because the whole time Christ is upholding the universe by the word of his power. And if you just do your simple study, you can see that if the earth was a little closer to the sun or a little farther away from the sun, we'd die. If the moon was in a different place, we'd die. If the earth was tilted a little bit different, you know, we would die. And just everything is just set perfectly in place, and it stays perfectly in place because God, Jesus, is upholding the universe by the word of his power. I mean, that should blow you away to think about that. Even just, you know, just minor changes in anything. And it's almost unbelievable to think that we could think nothing blew up into that. You know, everything just blew up into being placed like that. And we can put our faith in the Son who's holding everything together by his power. That's how powerful he is. That's how, you know, that's how powerful his speech is. That's how in control he is. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And I love that phrase, that, and you should too, that after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's the other thing that we have to really wrap our mind around, our faith around, that he made purification for sins, okay? Just stop and think about that phrase, because who feels guilty? Who still feels guilty for sins and for too long? Let's it hang on. And man, there's so many perfectionists. We just have a tendency to want to be perfect. I do this all the time. We want to be perfect. When we're not, you know, we want to beat ourselves up. We want to get a second chance to make it up to God. Did you know that the cross isn't really a second chance? It's not a second chance in the way like he's going to give you a do-over and now you can make it up to him. You're not going to make up anything to God, okay? What the cross is, that's the center. That's where you need to stay. It's not like he's going to give you just a chance to do things right now all of a sudden. It's the cross is the central place. He made purification for sins. All you people who hang on to guilt need to see that he already did that, and he sat down because his work was enough. His completed work was enough. And anyway, it goes through the rest of Hebrews 1, and he talks about Jesus being higher than the angels and God saying crazy things about Jesus, about him being the one who laid the foundation of the earth, and everything's going to perish, but Jesus will remain and sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. And all that leads to Hebrews 2, verse 1, which we get a therefore, which I always say therefore means pay attention to what he said before, because it has a point. And the point of Hebrews 1, talking about Jesus being the supremacy of all things and just having all our faith wrapped in him, verse 2, or chapter 2, 1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Verse 2, that was a huge warning to me. It made a huge, I think it's kind of a word in season for all of us. With Sam, you know, having a little bit of a passion about false teachings that are out there. I want you guys to really hear this. That therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we've heard. Okay, the cross, what Jesus did, this whole Bible is the revelation of what Jesus is doing for us. We have to pay closer attention to it unless we drift away from it. And I'm saying all this because I'm a pastor here, you know, and not that that makes me any better than anyone, but it means I should halfway get this. And I can find myself still almost 30 years old drifting away. And when I say drifting away, I don't mean I'm not going to switch to Buddhism, you know, I'm not thinking about being an atheist. And I'm not falling less in love with God. What I mean by drifting away is my faith just, there's not a better word I can think of. It drifts, you know. I still love Jesus as much as ever, but my faith drifts. It gets back in myself because I was made to be a dependent creature. And I find myself just depending in other things. Mostly it's myself, you know, and sometimes it's my works, and sometimes it's how much I've read the Bible, and sometimes it's, you know, God, man, I haven't prayed enough lately, and I just find this drifting always happening. There's always this temptation to drift away from the cross, and he gives this huge warning: pay closer attention. No matter where you're at, it's, you know, pay closer attention to what you've heard, unless you drift away from it. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? You notice that doesn't say reject. It doesn't say, how shall we escape if we reject such a great salvation? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect? That's a huge difference. Reject is me just saying no, saying I don't want that, you know. But neglect, is like, it's not important to me, you know. It's not of supreme importance. You know, I have other things that are more important going on. And so it might be there, I might like it, I might want God, but there's other things I want more, and so I'm going to kind of neglect Jesus. So how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So I'm asking you guys this morning to just let a little seed sink into your heart that it's possible that we drift away, that our faith drifts away, and we need a wake-up call. Several times in life, we need wake-up calls where Jesus shakes us awake and he takes things away and he gets us out of situations where we really are happy and love things so that we would know him more and he'd be enough for us and he'd be everything again to us. I think it's a really great thing I've noticed this year. I have a lot of personal testimony today, but I've noticed this year how I used to find my identity in so many things that I thought I was good at, and I realized more and more the older I get that I'm not so good at a lot of these things I thought I was good at. I just needed to be good at it. You know, I needed to think I was good at it so I'd have some kind of identity. I needed to think I was smart or a good athlete or all these things. I'm finding more and more it's like, I don't need that anymore. Jesus really is enough. I don't need to find my identity in anything else. Jesus is a, man, he's just... So yeah, let that seed settle in that just enough to ask God for a wake-up call that he is supreme, that he's all we need, that we wouldn't neglect the salvation that he gives. Just pray for that for all of us. I'll just ask Lord Jesus for your help. Whatever revelation is in this little lesson, I just pray that you would wash away anything that's just from me, and I just pray that you'd give that simple revelation that Jesus would be supreme in our lives, that he'd be the ultimate thing in our life, that we wouldn't be distracted and neglect the great and awesome and amazing salvation that you gave us, that we wouldn't be distracted with day-to-day life and things we want and desire and from this world. I pray that we would obey your command that says to pay closer attention to the things we've heard, to pay closer attention to what our faith is in. I pray that you would wake us up in areas where our faith is in other things, when our faith is in ourselves or others or or anything else. I pray that you would wake us up. I just pray for seeds to be planted in all of us this morning, Lord, that would lead us to having just a more full life in you, and that even in losing everything, Jesus would be everything in our life. We thank you, Father, for your word and for your son. Amen.